Well, I've been asked, rather than to sort of do a verse-by-verse wading our way through the passage, just to really focus in general terms on the death of Jesus this morning. And there's an awful lot that could be said, of course, about the death of Christ and in relation to the passage that we've read together. Although there isn't one particularly visible in this church building, if you go out into the wider community, I'm sure that it won't be very long before you can spot a cross. Many older churches will have one on the roof or somewhere prominent, and certainly if you go inside the building, you'll find a cross perhaps on a wall or on a communion table. Various schools in the area where we live have got a big cross on the outside of the building, usually because they're church schools, obviously. But it's amazing where you can find crosses. And of course, people wear crosses as an item of jewelry, not always because they are Christians and believers in Jesus, but just because it has become a kind of fashion accessory. And of course, the cross is now recognized as a universal symbol of Christianity. But perhaps it's lost something of what would have been understood by that symbol in the first century. And it's not surprising, we are basically 2,000 years on, and we don't see or experience the things that would have been very evident all that time ago. But of course, the cross in the first century was a symbol of suffering and torture and execution. The crucifixion of Jesus was horrific. It was originally a punishment devised by the Persians, apparently, and then later perfected, as it were, by the Romans. And it was arguably the most well, you can't really use the word excruciating because that's where we get the word from, but it was the most horrendous way to be executed. I won't go into all the details. I read a physician's report on the science behind the death of Jesus and the crucifixion. It makes for quite horrific reading. Perhaps it's lost a bit on us. But in those days, in the first century, the cross would have been seen as a symbol of terror and torture and death and execution. Well, Jesus' death is central in history. Jesus' death was the culmination of that great plan of God to save lost humanity. And when Jesus died, he died just outside Jerusalem, but effectively dying at the center of the then known world. And of course, we remember that the cross on which he died was at the center of three, one either side of him. The one who had been the center of eternal worship was now mocked and ridiculed and abandoned and rejected and scorned and tortured and executed. This was the one through whom everything was made that was made. As a hymn that we're perhaps familiar with says, "The hand that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered." And the one who had been at the center of eternal worship before his birth, before his coming to earth, was now the focus of human hatred and rebellion and sin. But his death on that cross was central to the great mission of God to save humanity, to save you and me. And perhaps we could say that at the heart of that passage that we've read together are those three little words, "It is finished," as Jesus' work of redemption is complete. So there are many things that we could focus on this morning in terms of the death of Jesus and what it means for us. I'm just going to share a few suggestions with you this morning. If you don't agree with my list, well, too bad, really. I'm sure there will be other things that you could add, but these are some of the things that I've picked out that I think can help us to appreciate perhaps a little more, or to focus in on what it means and why it matters. And really what I want to do is to think of the cross in terms of the letter X. Now, this is nothing new. Other people have done this as well. But that's what I like to do this morning. Of course, if you take the cross, it is an X, just an upright X, but it's useful to think of it in that context, to think about what an X can mean, and therefore what the cross of Jesus can mean and what his death can mean for us this morning. When I was at school, and I'm sure it's true for many people here, if you got it wrong, the teacher would put an X beside your work. Recently made inquiries, and apparently that's not how it's done anymore. We live in an age where you don't particularly tell people they're wrong, I think. But when I was at school, you used to get red pen on your work, lots of X's if you got things wrong. Lots of ticks, obviously, if you got things right, but I seem to get quite a lot of X's at various times. And an X is used, certainly used to be used, to point out an error or a mistake or a flaw, or a problem. And in a similar way, the cross of Jesus and the death of Jesus points up human sinfulness. It points up our sin. What do we mean by sin? Things that we do, yes. Things that we say, things that we think that displease God. Things that we fail to do, that we fail to say, that we fail to think that displease him. The fact that we do not honor him with all that we are 24/7 and we do not love our neighbor as ourselves. The fact that we have inherited a sinful nature from those who came before us. And all of that separates us from God. And all of that means that we cannot be in his presence unless something is done. And so the cross of Jesus and the death of Jesus reminds and should remind all of us of sin. The Bible says that all of us, every single one without exception, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means that not a single one of us is capable of measuring up to the perfect standards of God, who is holy and good in all that he does. All of us have sinned, and the cross of Jesus was necessary because all of us sinned and all of us sin. All of us were separated from him, from God our Father. What else do we use X for? Well, I hope that at various times in your life you've received a birthday card. It's a bit sad if you get to a birthday and nobody bothers to send you a card. I do remember a TV comedy. Well, many of you will remember Mr. Bean. And Mr. Bean liked to do things like send himself birthday cards and Christmas cards. It's a bit sad if it gets to that point. But in a birthday card or a Christmas card, if it's from somebody who cares about you, they will invariably end signing their name and putting at least one X for a kiss, an embrace. X is for a kiss. And in the same way, you know, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates to us the love of God. God could have just left us to our own devices. He didn't have to do anything. But in his amazing grace, he came in the person of the Lord Jesus, lived the life that we could never live of perfection, and died for us. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love. He showed his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The cross of Jesus is a demonstration of the love of God for you and for me. Just think what he went through. In physical terms, the torture, the suffering, the death. But beyond that, the Bible tells us that he was made sin for us, the one who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God. So X is for mistakes and wrongdoing. The cross of Jesus is for sin. The cross of Jesus, like an X is for a kiss, is a reminder to us of God's love for us. The other day, I asked some children in a primary school whether anyone still played noughts and crosses. I was quite surprised to see how many still do. How many actually know what it is, even, was a good thing. I imagined that most of them would just be on their screens and Game Boys and whatever it is else they use these days. But many of the children, probably about 75%, put their hands up and said that recently they had played noughts and crosses, which gave me hope, actually. It was good to hear it. But we use the X in that context in a battle. It's a battle between two people. You can have various variations on a theme and make noughts and crosses more interesting. But ultimately, it's a battle. And we have the X and we have the naught. The same way, you know, the cross of Christ and the death of Christ reminds us of a battle fought and won. And Jesus' death on the cross was not a loss, but a great victory. A victory over sin and death. And the scriptures tell us that he destroyed the law of sin and death. Because our sin, our wrongdoing, naturally, because of God's justice, had to lead to separation and punishment. And that would be eternal. But because he died for us, that has been changed. And so now we don't need to face what was due to us because of our sin. He destroyed the law of sin and death. X is for a battle, and the cross and death of Jesus are for a battle that was won, the greatest battle. His enemies, of course, thought they had got rid of him. God's enemy thought that he had won, but of course, he hadn't at all. What else do we use an X for? Well, when I'm writing things out, I still use a pen sometimes. And as you write things out, you might make lists, and as you finish through getting through your list, you might, one at a time, I don't tick them off, I just put a line through them, I'll put a cross through them. And the cross is used to indicate that something is done, it's finished, it's gone. And of course, the cross of Jesus has a similar meaning as well in that respect, that it's about sins forgiven. It's about the fact that because of him and because he died as our substitute, taking our place, taking what was due to us, bearing the wrath of God against sin, so that the justice of God was served and his love is also shown in that we get to go free. It's about the forgiveness of our sins. The Bible says that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Which means there is nothing further for us to do. I meet people on a regular basis who tell me that they are trying as best they can to make themselves as good as they can or to do various things in order to ensure that they are one day accepted by God. That's a very sad position to be in. Partly because it's futile. There's nothing that we can do ourselves to make ourselves acceptable to God. But also because it's a form of bondage, which means that you can never be free and never be liberated from it. It brings people into a state of fear, of perpetual worry about whether they will ever be good enough. But you see, the cross of Jesus, not only does it remind me and you that we are not good enough, it tells me that someone who was good enough has paid the price so that now there is nothing more for us to do. In him we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What else do we use an X for? And even this was one that when I inquired recently as well, I was surprised at the response from a number of children. We use an X to mark the spot. X marks the spot. There are various games that you can play if you so choose, where you have to put an X on an image and work out where the football was, for example. But traditionally, an X is used to mark the spot on a map when you might be hunting for pirate treasure. Occasionally, there is such a thing as pirate treasure, but it's not very often. But X marks the spot where something absolutely amazing and priceless is to be found. And the cross of the Lord Jesus and his death for us reminds us that there is something amazing that is offered to each and every one of us if we choose to accept it. There is a free gift from God given to us. The Bible says that the gift, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. X marks the spot, and the cross and death of Christ remind us of a free gift of God, salvation offered to us, eternal life, a restored relationship with the one who made us. So we have a reminder of sin, a reminder of God's love for us, a reminder of the victory that he won at the cross. The cross reminds us of sins now forgiven and a free gift available to us. What else? Well, a crossroads. I actually saw a really old sign the other day. I was driving up to, on my way to a funeral in Morwick last week, and there's various routes that, from where we are in North Dorset, it's not easy to get anywhere, and you have to know the lanes and the shortcuts. Anyway, I was already into South Somerset, and there's a particular village that as I drive through, there's a really old sign that looks like it's from the 1930s or something. It really is. It's probably been listed or something, which is the reason it hasn't gone. But it's a really old-fashioned sign, a little tiny sign marking a tiny crossroads that you almost wouldn't know was there in the center of a village. But if you go to a crossroads, certainly in a village, you'll usually find a sign giving you various options to take. There's one in the center of our village. Points you to various other villages, and you can choose where you go. X is for a crossroads. You know, the cross of Christ and the death of Christ gives us a choice that must be made. Remember that there was one of the two that were either side of Jesus who continued to join in with the taunts of the crowds. But there was the other one, the thief on the cross as we know him, who realized his position and the righteous death that he was dying for his crimes. And he turned to Jesus, not able to do anything, not able to explain things perhaps, and simply said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord, remember me. And the cross of Christ gives us a choice. That free gift is offered to us. God has done everything necessary for us to be reconciled to him. And now there is a choice to be made. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, says the scripture. What else? One more. 150 years ago, my great-great-grandparents on my direct line, the Carr side, got married. And I'm an avid family history buff. And when I was looking at some of the original records, some of the original documents, I was horrified, of course, to discover that one or two of my ancestors couldn't read or write. I think it was common in those days. If you couldn't read or write when you got married 150 years ago, you were given the pen, but you had to put an X. You just put an X for your name, and it substituted for your name. And that X of itself was an X of commitment. And as my great-great-grandmother put her ex instead of her name, she was committing to marrying my great-great-grandfather. In a similar way, the cross of Jesus and the death of Jesus is God's promise to us of his reliability, of his love, of his permanence, and of the fact that he never goes back on the things that he says. Perhaps the most famous verse of all that we know so well in the Bible is John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a promise. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Trust in him. Accept what has been done. Acknowledge your need and you will be saved as you believe in him. As Savior, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The death of Jesus points out our sin. We needed a Savior. It demonstrates just how much God loved us, that he was willing to go to that extent and give his Son and die for us. It reminds us that a great battle has been won. He has the victory over sin and death. Our sins are forgiven on account of our Savior, not because of anything that we can do, not because we deserve it or can earn it. It reminds us that God has given us the option of a free gift if we so choose to accept it. We have that choice to make, and God promises us that whoever comes to him will never be turned away and never be lost. The death of Jesus, in a wonderful and remarkable way, bridges the gap between sinful people like ourselves and our holy God, our holy heavenly Father. Sinners lost, reconciled, because somebody came to be one of us. It had to be somebody who could stand for us and be one of us. Remember, in the Old Testament of the Bible, all the sacrifices that were offered year after year, they were really symbolic of something that was yet to come. They could never take away sins of themselves. But when Jesus came and died on the cross, he made that one and final sacrifice that was necessary, that never needs to be repeated, thereby opening the way into the presence of God for people like us, taking what was due to us, bearing the wrath of God so that we might go free. He takes our sins on that cross, and in exchange we are given his righteousness, made acceptable for the presence of God. One sacrifice for sins forever, and he sat down. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Romans 8 verse 1 says this, therefore there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That's hugely liberating. That's wonderful news, that though we are sinful people, alienated from God, yet in his mercy he's reached out to us. We don't have to spend our time trying to attain to him or be good enough or merited enough or please him enough. He welcomes and accepts us no matter who we are, where we're from, what we've done. If we turn to him and acknowledge our need of forgiveness and cleansing, because of what Christ has done, it's been paid. There is none too good that doesn't need a savior, but likewise none so bad that they cannot be saved and covered by what he's done. The death of Jesus, so much more that could be said. Maybe some of these things this morning might lodge in our hearts, remind us of these truths and of these good things that are good for us to remind ourselves of again this morning. Let's pray together and let's give thanks for him again. Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. Though we were sinners afar off from you, Lord, you reached out to us. You demonstrated your love to us by coming in the person of the Lord Jesus and giving your life for us, our God, on the cross. Father, we thank you for that precious blood that was shed. Thank you for the way that the Lord Jesus was willing to stand in our place, to bear the punishment for our sins, that we might know God, that we might be reconciled and saved and restored. And Father, we thank you for the fact that our sins have been dealt with, that we are forgiven and welcome and accepted if we have believed in the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father, for anyone who's here this morning who still doesn't know what it means to trust in you, to trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior and their Lord in a personal way, and to know the joy of sins forgiven and that restored relationship with you. Thank you, Father, for these truths that we are perhaps very familiar with. We just pray that in some way, just through these simple thoughts this morning, that you would speak and that you would bring fruit, we pray. So bless us as we continue further now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.